I'd like to share with us a few minutes here tonight, introduce something. Before I do, let's turn to the book of 2 John. Look at the book of 2 John. And I'm sharing here from this book to lead us into another subject, but just kind of as an introduction here. Let me just read a few verses here. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, not only I, but all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with them, will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And he goes on and talks about if anyone does not receive him, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Just thinking here and introducing the area that I have on my heart here tonight, brothers and sisters. So I was sitting here, I was just thinking about walking in truth and worshiping in spirit and in truth. And sometimes I think we do not look deep enough for the foundation. But God's foundation is very deep. You know, when you're building a big building, you want a pretty deep foundation. And the higher the building, the deeper you go. The more effort you put into the foundation. When you look at these skyscrapers around here, you know, what you see is the 40 and 50 and 70 and 80 stories, and you say, wow. But what you don't see is all that that's buried down underneath. It's nice to go into the elevator and ride to the top and look around. But the reason that you can do it safely and with a quiet heart is because at some point somebody put real attention into those foundations. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Foundations have gone. Like, and they're in truth. John, I take it pretty elderly at this point. He says, you know, I don't rejoice in anything more than this, that I hear my children are walking in truth. Walking in truth. That should speak to us. And I like to connect that to the passage over there where Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, you know, those that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we don't go deep enough. We don't go deep enough into truth. We don't go deep enough into the foundations. And when I believe when we do, we find there a solidness upon which our faith rests. We find there a grace that is no other place. And as we start to see the riches of God and we start to walk in that truth, you know what happens? What happens is there's an overflow. And it's expressed in worship. It's expressed in many ways, but it's expressed in worship. Just commenting on just a couple of things here. Notice this. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Father, in truth and love. In other words, this is the promise that we have. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. It's not a question of whether they will be. They will be with you as we walk in truth. I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth. And then he says, I plead with you, not as though we received a new commandment, but continue in this love. And then look at this. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. You know, love is full, isn't it? Sometimes we try to define it. We know that God is love. We wonder what is the expression of it. But one thing that we can say here tonight from the scripture, love causes us to walk in truth. Love causes us to walk in the commandments of Christ. Love causes us to walk in the teaching of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. That's what he goes on here, and he mentions, he says, whoever abides in the doctrine, that's a broad statement. Whoever abides in the teaching of Christ, that's a full statement. That's not a small thing. Whoever abides in this, he said, he's going to be established. He's going to know God. This is where we find abiding. Now, when we think of truth, I think sometimes we separate it from Christ. And when I'm thinking of truth here tonight, I'm not separating it from Christ. When I think of walking in truth, I think of walking in Christ. Jesus said, I am the truth. And as we walk in truth, we walk in Christ. We can't walk in Christ apart from walking in truth. And truth that is not connected with abiding in Christ, brothers and sisters, tonight, I don't feel it's truth. It may be true things, but it's, let's put it this way, it's not the truth that we're looking for. It's not the foundation that we're looking for. We're looking for that which is connected to Christ. True ministry, I believe, always brings us back to Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. And we hear those words, and yet I think God wants them to sink deeper into our heart and mind. So, in the subject that I want to introduce to us here tonight, and I'll explain this a little bit more, what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, I think there's an area of truth that we together need to walk in. And you say, well, have we not been walking in it? Well, I believe we've been walking in it in some measure. But I think God wants us to walk in this in a greater measure. And I believe as we walk in it in a greater measure, I think that we're going to see results. I think it's going to touch us, every one of our lives. I think it's going to touch us. Every one of us, it's going to touch us. It's going to cause an increase in experiencing the grace of God. It's going to cause an increase in experiencing the grace of God together, not just individually, but together. God wants the body to walk in truth together. And the only way that the body can walk in truth together is for that truth to be proclaimed. And God has been making an area of truth real in my own heart these past weeks. And I've been looking at it. I've talked a little bit with the elders. And I believe I'm correct to saying that they agree that this would be profitable to us. In the area I'm opening up, I'm not saying I have all the answers. I think I see a little bit more clearly than I ever have. And I want to declare to us what I see. But I pray that it will spark something in each one of our hearts and lives, and that together we'll see more than I'm seeing tonight. I'm seeing a little bit. I'm seeing enough to declare what I see. I want to declare it in love. I want to declare it in a positive way. I want to declare it in the truth of the Scriptures. I want to declare it because I believe it can benefit us, it can inspire us, it can challenge us, it can move us on to a higher place in God. We sing the song, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. What does that mean to us tonight? Well, I'm sure it means a lot of things. It should be the prayer of our heart. But to be able to move on in confidence, I believe we need to see clearly. God wants us to see clearly. Truth must captivate our heart, and so that we can not only walk in it, but we can see it, we can walk in it, we can declare it. And as we declare it, What I believe that God will do, and that's He puts an anointing on truth. God can't put an anointing on error. I think we know that. He can't put an anointing on our ideas. Just our ideas. He can't say an amen. He can't give His witness to it. But what He does do, He gives a witness to truth. He gives a witness to Christ. He gives a witness to the doctrine of Christ. He gives a witness to the teaching of Christ. And when we say doctrine of Christ, teaching of Christ, when I read that phrase, I am thinking of it as that God is summing up all things in Christ and how that works out. God wants us to know how it works out. He wants us to understand. He wants us to be able to see, not just have a vague idea. Sometimes it's vagueness that keeps us from experiencing what God wants. And as I said, when we experience it, then I believe as we experience it, you know what? It produces that well of living water that starts to flow within us. And it overflows. It overflows in 1,001 ways. So, just pointing to 1 John there as a foundation and as an introduction. All right, what is the area of truth that I'd like to bring to us? The area of truth that I'd like to bring to us concerns baptism. And I look at it in the scriptures, I see it's a pretty big subject. And I see quite a bit of reference to it. And I think sometimes we think about it in a narrow way. I trust that in looking at this subject that God will expand it. And the first thing I'd like to ask you to do, I hope you've got a pen and paper here tonight. If you don't, would you borrow it from somebody? I want to give us some scriptures to look at. And I'm not going to go into all these scriptures tonight. But I want us to look at these scriptures, to begin to think about them, to prepare our hearts in this area, to look to God in it. These are not the only scriptures that I'm going to give you tonight relating to baptism, but they're key scriptures. They're, I think, pivotal scriptures in this area. And I just want you to write them down, if you would, please, and then look at them later, and just exactly in what order we're going to use them, I don't know, but Lord willing, we will look at all of these scriptures at one point. I've got them listed into seven specific areas. The first one, the baptism of John. And there are several places, but I've put down here Mark 1:4. You can look at there. There's mentions others. Look at the other scriptures. I've just got one of them here. The baptism of John. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. You put that down, please. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. I'll read it. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sin. So that was the baptism of John. Okay, the second one, the baptism of Christ. And it's really in two areas, but let me just give you this one to start with. Luke 12, verse 50. He said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." Luke 12, 50. And you can connect with that the account where Jesus was baptized by John. I don't have the reference there. You can find that. But the baptism of Christ, it specifically says there, I have a baptism to be baptized with. All right, the third one that I have is the baptism of believers. You can find this in several places, but again, I've listed one verse, Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost." And I've labeled that the baptism of believers, or believers' baptism. It could be referred to as different things, but You can put what name you want to on it, but the command of Jesus to go in the preaching of the gospel and baptize those that believe. All right? The next one I have is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And of course, there are many scriptures that refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so this is just one of them. It's the beginning one, if you will. But look at all of them. All of them that refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, 5. The other one I have labeled is baptism into Jesus and his death. And the reference there is Romans 6:3. Do you not know as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now there's quite a long passage there in Romans chapter 6. Look at the whole passage. But I'm focusing on baptism. And just giving you the specific thing there, baptized into Christ and his death. Baptized into Jesus. All right, the next one. Got those?
Dave, we have an S reference on that
one. Yes, Romans 6:3. And the whole section of Romans 6 there. I've just picked out one verse, but you look at the whole section there. In Romans 6. It's all related. Okay, the next one. The baptism into Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. Says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. One more. Baptism into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, baptism into the body of Christ. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You may find others. These were 7 that at least stood out to me. And I felt that the others were all very closely related to these. So I didn't list them as separate.
What was the last one, Dave?
The last one is 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptism into the body of Christ.
1 Corinthians 12:13.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Okay, everybody got those 7? Okay, if you didn't have a piece of paper and write them down, then maybe you can get those from somebody afterwards. But brothers and sisters, if we're going to make progress in God, I believe we're going to have to give some diligence and apply ourselves. And that's a goal. Now, one more scripture I want to give us. I listed 7 baptisms, but let me read from Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I gave us here 7 baptisms tonight, and those 7 baptisms are at least on the surface not obviously related, at least to me. They look like they're different, and there's distinctions made on them. And yet Paul says there's one baptism. So, my first question, and you can jot down these questions kind of as a beginning point. We're going to try to answer these questions as we go along, but I believe it would be helpful if each one of us would try to answer these questions ourselves. We can gain much more out of the Scriptures if we will apply ourselves and think about these things and begin to exercise ourselves before God. And if we come down to questions, well, then that's good, because then you've got a question to ask your brother or your sister. You got something to talk about on Saturday morning. Brother Jesse encouraged us to come, brothers, and talk about it. And I would encourage us to come and talk about this area and begin to ask some of the questions with each other. So here's my question. Is there really one baptism, or are there seven baptisms? And if they are one baptism, how are they one baptism? If there really is one baptism, and these baptisms are all related, then how are they related? What is the significance of water baptism? Some of these baptisms don't even mention water. The baptism of Christ, he doesn't mention water. He's referring, I believe, to Calvary. Water is not even mentioned. What is the significance of water baptism? Certainly several of them refer to water baptism. What is the significance of water baptism today? What happens when we're baptized into water? What is the significance in our relationship with God? Is there a relationship between baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm just asking us some questions to get us thinking here. Write down these questions, please, and begin to think. What is the significance, or what is the relationship between the baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit? Pardon?
Is there a relationship between...
I said, is there a relationship between water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So I really pose three questions. Are these all seven baptisms one baptism? And if so, how are they one? Number two, what is the significance of water baptism today? And three, is there a relationship between baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit? Everybody got the questions? And I'm sure you can come up with your own questions. Those questions are not intended to be all-inclusive questions. Those are questions that are just intended to provoke us and get us going. Now, I believe if you start to look at this, brothers and sisters, I think you will start to see that it's a pretty big subject. Sometimes I think we think it's pretty small and say, well, we know about it. Maybe we don't know everything God wants us to know about it. And if we know something about it, praise the Lord. We're not going to try to take anything away here. I would say also in introducing this, can we approach this subject with a fresh mind? Can we clear the slate? All of us have come, I would say probably almost all of us have come from some kind of religious background. And we've all probably been exposed to some kind of teaching on baptism. And if you go to the books of the library, I don't think you could find a dump truck big enough to load them up on the subject of baptism. And if you were to try to find all the books of controversy over baptism over the last 2,000 years, I don't think a semi-trailer would load them up. And so we might, at least when I started this subject, I kind of faded in my heart, because I saw the need, and the Lord was working my heart, but I kind of fainted, and I says, well, who do you think you are, little Dave Sheets, that you're going to sit down and you're going to approach this subject and you're going to come up with an answer when people for thousands of years have been fighting over this and are still fighting over it and haven't come up to a oneness? Well, can I encourage us tonight in a place of faith before God? Clear the slate. Clear the slate. Leave all your past teaching behind. Bury it. Can we do that? Open the Scriptures. That's what we want to use. That's what we want. the scriptures. All right? Come before God in faith and say, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Now, did he promise he would do that? Anybody want to give an amen to that? Is that what he sent the Holy Spirit for?
Yes.
He said he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he said he will lead you into all truth. Does it apply to this area, would you say? Amen. I believe it does. We can say amen. It's okay. Amen. Okay. Brothers and sisters, this is foundational truth. But it's not just foundational truth, it's growth truth. I think when we start to look at this, we're going to find that it isn't just a little tiny subject that, you know, when we were baptized 10 years ago and we knew all about it. I think God wants to open it up where it's ever living truth right now. And I approach this subject with this. I approached it nothing more than with my Bible and a desire for God to reveal it to me again afresh. I laid it aside, everything. I didn't pick up any books on anybody. I didn't open any concordance. I didn't open any Bible dictionary. I didn't do anything except just start to look to the scriptures and to the Lord and say, Lord, what does this mean? There is one baptism. And I'm encouraging each one of us to do the same. And I believe if we'll do that diligently, sincerely before God, I believe that God will meet us. And I think you're going to start to get excited. And when you start to get excited, you know what you're going to do, brothers? What are you going to do? You're going to want to stand up and share what God's showing you. That's right. You're going to stand up and share. And then we're going to have to make the meeting a little bit longer because there won't be enough room. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But God wants revelation to be breaking into our heart. He wants truth to be breaking into our heart. He wants Jesus to be breaking into our heart. Because he wants to show us the connection of these things. And he wants to show us what it means in our walk today. I believe this has relevance in our walk today. This is not just an experience that, you know, Joshua, was it how many weeks ago?
Three or four weeks ago
for Joshua. But for some of the rest of us, longer than that. Okay? He doesn't want us just to be thinking about a baptism 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This, to me, tonight, is a burning subject. Every time my wife asks me what I've been thinking about, this past week, we're driving down the road. She says, what are you thinking about? You know what I answer? One baptism. I come to the dinner table. What are you thinking about? I'm just kind of staring. One baptism. I've been thinking about it for weeks, so I've got a jump start on you. I had a lot of time this time, a couple of places. It just worked out that way there in Iraq. I mean, in Jordan was not too much to do. And I was sitting in a hotel room and no place to go. So I had a lot of time to think. A lot of time in Singapore, too. And I've been thinking about it for several weeks here, giving myself to it. So I'm a little bit ahead of you, but you can catch up real fast. So, brothers and sisters, give ourselves to this. I'm not leaving the sisters out. Sisters, give yourself to this. Yes, in God's order, God wants the brothers to stand up and share. But he wants every brother and every sister to see together. He wants every member of the body to see. We should be able to express it. We should be able to give meaning to us. We should be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And we need to walk in it. And I believe as we start to see some of this, there's some walking that we as an individual may need to do, and there's some walking that the body may need to do. And we'll let God determine that. I'm not here to determine that. The Holy Spirit's going to lead us into truth, and he's going to give us the walking, not Dave Sheets. I'm just going to be here to, I trust, spark desire in your heart, to spark a place for the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal in your heart, but to give a place for you as an individual and us as a body to walk in truth. And I believe as we walk in that truth, brothers and sisters, it's going to bring an increase. It's going to bring an increase in all of our lives. At least that's what I see right now. And I see a little bit, and I'm looking to see more. But in a little bit that I see, I can look around here tonight, and all of us and their needs in our lives that I'm aware of, and the needs of the body, and I believe this touches every one of us. So, that's my introduction here tonight. Lord willing, let's do it here on Wednesday night. I think that's probably a better avenue for it. I'm not saying we can't mention it on Sunday, but just for a period of time, and I don't know how long this is going to be, Brother George. Maybe it's a few weeks. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be at least a few weeks. But I've talked to Brother George, talked to Brother Jesse. I've shared a little bit. I've written something. I've given them to read what I've written. I don't really want to pass that out yet. I'm working on it. But I fellowshipped a little bit with them on it, and I'm open to fellowship with anybody. I didn't just pick them out, but I felt in this particular subject I needed to go through God's order in it, make sure there was a witness in it, because some of the things I'm sharing I think have some far-reaching implications in our lives. But I trust those far-reaching implications will take us into the riches of God, the riches of who He is. Amen? Any questions before I sit down? Are we all open to accept the assignment? Are we okay with that? For our eager students, right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Whatever else God has for us here tonight, I trust, rather than go ahead. But I trust that at least points us in the right direction and gives us something to start with so that you'll be prepared. And Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come first, we'll look at this subject again next Wednesday night.
When God gives us any area to look at, it's not so that we're puffed up with knowledge. God never gives us information. God commands. Walk in it and you'll know the truth.
Amen.
Oftentimes we forget the obedience part of it and we just think, well, I agree with that. I know that a person should be baptized in water. And they don't get baptized in water. Or they do it 5-6 times. God does not give us things to do just for fun. God commands us to do something so we'll know Him. And that's wonderful. Because I want to encourage us, as we're going through this, we're looking for obedience. And what's obedience tied to?
Action.
Who said it?
Faith.
Action. Faith. You can't have obedience without having faith. That's presumptuousness. God wants us to know, and then we obey. Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized in water? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yeah.
Let's unify these things as we're going through them with obedience. If God is speaking something to you, what must I do? Obey. What must we do? Obey. In other words, we're not coming here just to learn something. I don't believe that God is in that business. As a loving father, I am not in that business. He just says, do my will, and you'll know my doctrine. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, well, you know, I want to figure it out first. I want to figure... Do my will, then you'll know my doctrine. Put your mind in the back seat. Obey, even if you don't quite understand. You know what I'm saying? That's faith. That's faith. But I want to knock out of our minds that we're doing this just for knowledge. Do we understand that?
Experience more of God.
We're not doing it just to gain knowledge. We're not, you know, having a... We want to obey, right?
Amen.
We want to obey the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, what must I do? Be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves the psalms and hymns, the spiritual songs. Lord, what must we do? Walk in truth. What does that mean? It means love one another, right? Walk in union. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husband. It's very practical. And that's what I love about Christianity. It's not pie in the sky. It's getting down to where the rubber hits the road. Obey. Faith. Why do we do certain things? Because God said to do them. And if you want to take up the cause with Him, go right ahead. But we just, what? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's liberating. It frees us up to where you get excited. Not with a doctrine. You get excited with the person that says, one day you'll figure it out. But right now, just obey. One day, it'll all come together. Right now, it just seems like one. You know, I just need to be baptized in water. I just need to identify myself with Christ. I just need to be, you know. And then you say, you know what? It's all one. It's all Jesus. As I was looking to the Lord, I had to read. I remember Brother Gordon very vividly, many years ago, encouraging us in this the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Verse 16. Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but Him who sent me. If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Jesus, I believe, is saying here, do my Father's will, and you'll know the doctrine. Do His will, and you'll know the doctrine. Most of us want to know the doctrine so we can do the will. It's backwards. Do the will, and then you'll know the doctrine. Isn't that great? Put your mind on the shelf. George, put your mind on the shelf and just... God doesn't speak to be, you know, philosophizing some equation of mathematical probability and Pythagoras. Did you interpret that?
No, no, that was uninterpretable.
Do you see what I'm saying? God doesn't just fill our minds. God wants our hearts. Do my will first. Then you get to know me. Then I'll teach you about my doctrine. I know. We got a lot of PhDs here, and we've got a lot of... I know that. That's why I'm appealing to you. God can't be known by doctrines. God is known by obedience and faith. Become as a little child. Become as a little child. What is it? Oh, he's got it all figured out, right? I mean, he's got... No, he doesn't have it all figured out. He just... You ever hear that story? We used to go out to the stockade. And Brother Curtis, he was a storyteller, you know. He had a story for everything. And he told a story about this little boy and the dad, you know. And you know how little boys are. Adventurous, you know. So the little boy separates from his father, and father went off to work, you know, and pretty soon the end of the day, son, where are you? He's looking all over for him. Son, where'd you go? And so the father makes over, you know, to where the sniveling and the... Son, I see you. I hear you. Go ahead and jump. Go ahead and jump. I'll catch you. He had made his way up into the loft. A couple of stories. Go ahead and jump, son, and I'll catch you. Oh, I got to figure it out first, thing, you know, is... I gotta know to the nth degree of the probability of causes and the equations of probability of... The little boy jumped. It was like a marshmallow landing in his dad's arm. See what I mean? Let's just do his will, right? Are you excited when you do... Do you get excited when you do God's will? Mm-hmm. I do. And I know you get excited. Because that's how we're created. That's how we're created. We get excited. My will is not a burden. Take my will upon you. Learn of me. It's not heavy. It's easy. It's light. It's joyous. It's joyous. Let's encourage one another, right, brothers and sisters? Take up, you know, come on, obey. What's this Lord speaking to you? That, obey. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be hard, you know, in your heart. Stand up with me.